Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to finish reflecting this week on our battle against sin. What a great topic. What an important one for us to be able to look at very clearly, soberly in this season of Lent. Lent is a difficult season. It's meant to be, but it's a blessed season. And I would recommend for you, your family, friends, to have conversations about your battle against sin, to talk about it. One of the things that disarms the power of sin is to bring it out of darkness and into the light. We certainly do that in confession. We shouldn't eliminate confession. I'm not suggesting that at all, because we need absolution for any mortal sins and sins that are offending God. But if we could create in the church, friends, environments of great mercy, great tenderness, even environments in our home where we're able to talk about our battle against sin. I don't mean to talk, for example, with the kids about everything you've ever done. I'm not making that kind of a suggestion. But the recognition of the battle, to be able to talk about it and have a kind of tenderness and mercy toward one another, and to get to know one another. This is where good men's groups, good women's groups, couples groups, where you could say, where's my Achilles heel? What's the battlefield for me? Can you identify that? Bring it into the light. And that's an exercise in humility, which really helps in a battle against sin. The more it stays in the dark, the devil wants us to be filled with shame. You know, he's such a loser. What he does is, his strategy is to seduce us, to tempt us. He sent out demons throughout the world to seduce human beings, to deceive us, to cause us to fall to different kinds of temptations. And so it all looks good in the beginning. I'm going to look, probably won't get at it today. I might be able to just kind of talk about the steps of temptation and what it's really like. Understanding that can be helpful. But I want to use these weeks to help us be fortified against the enemy and learning some wisdom and some practices. Unfortunately, because the one who tempts us and who we end up saying yes to because we see some good or some desirable thing that we want, and there's this battle in us, yes, no, and then we say yes, and it all seems manageable and we're somehow going to handle it. And then before you know it, once we've fallen into sin, then he's stomping on us. Then he's just sending a legion probably of demons to just condemn you and to shame you, and then to say, it's over for you. And whatever you do, don't tell anybody about this. Don't talk about it. And to keep our weakness in the dark. I mean, one of the things that we most share in common with every human being is sin. Every human being falls. Now, humans, I don't mean to say every human being is a slave to sin throughout their life, because that's not true. Because those who are in Christ Jesus really do win victories over sin. And we have people who die in a state of holiness, of sanctity, of heroic virtue, that they just aren't committing sins at that stage in their life. Maybe little tiny ones in some way. But I mean, real true transformation is possible in this life. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus brought down the power of the kingdom of darkness. He disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public show of them. And he released the power of his Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead into your life and mine. And we can live differently. But the devil, what he does is, remember, I read this week that Jesus described him, right? He's a liar. He's a murderer. All he does is lie. And his greatest power is in deception. And he can deceive us through getting us to be convinced about our situation's hopeless. I won't be forgiven. I just can't ask forgiveness again. Boy, I don't want to tell anybody. And then shame. And then he pricks our pride. You don't want anybody to know this. Just one thing after another to keep us in this position of slavery. And then we say, well, you know what? I don't have any right to be spiritually confident and to stand up and to fight because I'm such a schlep, because I've given into these habit patterns of sin and I'm just so discouraged and despairing. He wants us just to wilt in front of him. He doesn't want us to pick up the sword that we have. He wants us to think we've lost our relationship some way and our position in the Lord. Look, the Lord's commitment to you is he loves you day and night. God is love, and it's a fiery love. It's a burning love. It's a consuming love. And it's a consuming fire of love. He came to cast fire on the earth, and he wants to cast that fire into you. And that fire, it purifies. And he wants to purify us of sin. God is not moody. God doesn't, oh, well, you know, I'm done with you. He doesn't. It's just not who God is. God is love, and he wants you to be his child and to know it. And you, as a child of God, baptized in him, if you fall, you have a right. Stand up, go. Go to confession. Get restored and receive who God says you are, and walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. That's what we're engaged in. That's what Lent's about. And we want to be able to see. And so I just want to see a few things today. I almost got off on too much of a bunny trail there this morning, but I want to just share with you some of the dynamics that it's just good to know in waging war against lust and covetousness and different kinds of sin. First of all, we need to know that God will always do his part. Here's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I beg you as pilgrims. You're a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim. What are we headed for? We're pilgrims. What's our direction? Our destiny is heaven. Our destiny is to be with God forever. Our destiny is to share in what belongs to the beloved, to Jesus, and to inherit what belongs to him. It's just mind-boggling how beautiful that is. I beg you as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's St. Peter. He knows about the war that goes on inside. He experiences it in his own life. Number one, God will do his part. We can't do God's part. We do our part. He does his part. Our part is to do what? Is to make quality decisions, to feed our spirit on the word of God, on the sacraments, to pray, to fast, to equip ourselves, to put on the armor of God, to engage in godly activities of love and service of neighbor, especially the poor, working on relationships of getting deeper and deeper intimacy and friendship in Christ, all that kind of stuff. That's our part. We can't be passive. We can't just be inert. We can't just flow with wherever the stream of the world is leading us, that we have to fight. And that's doing our part. God's part is God releases grace in our hearts, supernatural power. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through sacraments, through people, through circumstances, he protects us, he directs us. And if we're leaning into him, he will help us. And there's a war inside. There's the Trojan horse inside called the flesh. That's a dimension of every single human being that says, my will be done, not anybody else's will be done, including God's. That's really what it is. It's the fallen dimension of our own being. And there's the war outside. There's the world, and there's the devil. And the devil's at work manipulating the fallen dimension of God's good creation. The world that is nature and its creation, it's all been affected by the fall, but God created and it's good. But there's a dimension in the world of powers at work, the power of death itself, Hebrews tells us. It leads human beings in the fear of death into slavery. There's aspects of that expressed everywhere, an over-radical exalting of things in this world that we think are going to satisfy us and save us. You know, money, fame, power, lust, you name it, idols, all of that. And then there's a system of the fallen world, volitional powers of money, political powers, the entertainment industry and stuff, dimensions of those things which are affected, and they're a mixed bag. And some of it, friends, is very powerful. And if there's no pushback, if leaders are under slavery to sin in different ways, man, it has a huge impact on society and culture and the whole order that we live in. So a good culture or a good civilization is one that makes it easier to be good, to cooperate with the natural law, to cooperate with God's plan and purpose. A bad one is one that makes it easy to do the opposite. And friends, there has been a shifting going on in our culture. There's just really no doubt about it. So the war is difficult. Jesus makes it clear. He said, you know, enter the narrow gate. It's difficult. There's striving. There's a battle. We have to learn how to say no, but to say no always is also a yes to God at work within us, right? We're overcoming. By the way, when I talk about lusts, overcoming lust, immediately we just simply think of sexual lust. That certainly is a big thing, but it's sometimes the term like covetousness can touch a whole expression of things like pride, anger, covetousness, theft, slander, bitterness, jealousies, immorality, pornography, drunkenness, overindulgence of food, plus legal and illegal addictions and all kinds of things that it can fall under. That's essentially what we're talking about in our battle against sin. And so we know the battle is challenging because the way is narrow. But the key thing is to remember we're not alone. And Jesus says, I know exactly who you are. I know exactly what you're up against. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. Now, if you turn to me and you seek me first with all your heart, if you walk humbly before me, come now. I want to teach you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am meek and humble of heart. I'm gentle and I'm humble of heart. And I want to help you come out from under the yoke of slavery to sin that will beat you down. Like, oh, my friend Danny Abram would say, it'll beat you down like a rented donkey. It'll crush you if you let it. But Jesus said, come now. I will teach you. I'll lead you. I'll help you. And God lovingly, consistently provides help. He's our helper. You know, it's really foolish. Like the psalm said, foolish is the man who trusts in man. There is no hope in man. There's no man that can solve the problems. Do not put your trust in him. Don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in politicians. Don't put your trust in Joe Biden. Don't put your trust in Donald Trump. Don't put your trust in big moneyed people or whatever. They're all going to be dead soon, just like you. And none of them have the power to help you with what you need to become the transformed human being that Jesus alone, God alone, can help you with. And as we come to the Lord and we live in the real world is acknowledging the truth about who he is, who we are, and Jesus' diagnosis of the whole reality of creation, cosmos, the eternal battle, the eternal biblical perspective, and then to see ourselves in truth. My strengths, my weaknesses, where are the battle lines in my life? What am I susceptible to? How much is in my emotional life, in my mental, my mind, where's the real place of greatest conflict, just the passions inside me? And how can I cooperate more fully with Jesus to bring it under the submission of the Holy Spirit, who's going to lead me deeper and deeper into the knowledge of God's love? And these battles against these things, friends, this is the theater which God chooses to enable us to express our love for him and his love for us. What do I mean by that? Here's John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Our efforts, even our little efforts, friends, to do, as St. Paul said, do what pleases the Lord. Jesus' heart is moved. This is where you can love, to say no to sin and yes to God. I mean, it helps you ultimately in the end. But it is fundamentally an act of obedience. And Jesus showed us on the cross that ultimately he expressed, he said, I want the whole world to know I'm going to obey the Father's command. I'm going to go to the cross because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. I want to say no to sin and yes to God, yes to Jesus, because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.